As the protests in Brazil continue, one of the primary issues that has emerged is the vast sums of money and resources the government is allocating for several high-profile sporting events. Demonstrators say that vital services like healthcare, education, and transportation remain underfunded, while Brazil is on pace to spend up to $40 billion on the upcoming World Cup soccer tournament. That project has led to the forced removal of thousands of mostly poor urban residents from Brazilian cities and a housing crisis that reveals the inequality gap that some residents are protesting. Raquel Rolnick is the UN's special rapporteur on the right to adequate housing. She joins us now from Sao Paulo. Raquel Rolnick, welcome to FSRN.
Thank you.
You've called for the Brazilian government to follow due process when moving people for these mega sporting events. How extensive are these forced evictions, and where have they taken place?
First of all, it's very important to say that we are talking about several cities which are being prepared, are preparing to the World Cup. And in the case of Rio, which is the World Cup and also the Olympics. So there are 12 different cities which will be the hosts for the World Cup. And it's really not clear of how many families we are talking about, how many households we are talking about. It's very difficult to say, but I can tell you that in every city there are forced evictions going on right now, in every city that are hosting, preparing to host the World Cup.
Well, you mentioned the importance of Rio de Janeiro and as a host, as one of the primary hosts of the games coming up in the 2014 World Cup. But this week, the Confederations Cup has been taking place across Brazil. That's a major international soccer tournament seen as a precursor to the World Cup. And some of the protests have directly criticized the tournament. In Rio, the games are taking place at the Maracanã Stadium, which the government spent some $500 million to renovate. Dozens of favelas were demolished. What's the housing situation there?
Yes, it's true, absolutely true. I saw a very illustrative placard saying that when my child will be sick, I will take him to the stadium. So what is being said on the street is that we don't want to spend that much money to do the World Cup and to prepare the country for the World Cup. We need investments in, we need social investments in education, in health, in public transportation, which is one of the main drivers of the protest, and also on adequate housing. And this is not only in Rio. In Fortaleza, for instance, there was a in Fortaleza and Brasilia, the leading point of the agenda for the protest was exactly against what has been done to host the World Cup.
Now, in response to some of these criticisms, the government says that it does have a resettlement program. In Rio de Janeiro, for example, Pierre Batista, the city's secretary of housing, said some 20,000 people have been relocated since 2009. Many are going to government housing projects. First, you talked about the lack of transparency about how many people are actually affected. So you can comment on if that number is even accurate, but how would you assess the relocation projects?
Yes, and this is one of the main violations, exactly the relocation projects, because most of the relocation projects are located in a place called Santa Cruz, which is on the western zone, sometimes 30, 40, 50 kilometers away from the places where people used to live, in a zone where hundreds and thousands of low-cost housing are being built without employment opportunities, without cultural opportunities. So that is the creation of a huge ghetto. And it's very exclusionary and very discriminatory in terms of relocation. So this is exactly one of the problems with the relocation policy that being in place and led by Rio de Janeiro City Administration.
And we've been talking about urban areas, Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, Brasilia, or other places, but it's not just urban areas. In other parts of Brazil, in rural areas, indigenous communities such as the Guarani in the state of Mato Grosso do Sul, another group called the Terena, have been fighting for reclamation of ancestral land. So how does this issue of housing and homes extend to other areas of Brazil?
Yes, what we are living in Brazil right now, since we have a real clear expansion of a mode of development who is really taking over all the land available for agribusiness promotion, for mining, for infrastructure projects that are going on in the hinterland of Brazil right now, the traditional communities that used to live there, they are just being pushed out from their lands, and they have been pushed out from their rights. So what we are seeing now, not only indigenous communities, but other traditional communities are claiming against a development model which is not including them, and on the contrary, which are really relocating them to places where the opportunities for survival in the way the community is used to survive is just not available. So I think that what we are seeing now, the revolt from the indigenous communities in different parts of Brazil, from traditional communities in different parts of Brazil, but also the urban revolt, which is very, very significant because, of course, all this process of re-territorialization is pushing migration towards the cities. And the cities, there is no real structure available to cope with this urbanization. So all of that, I think, creates a reaction for something that in the last 5-6 years is the expansion of this development model, of this economic growth, pretty much connected in global terms, if you take that. So all of that, I think, it's part of what is being held now on the streets, what is being heard on the streets.
Well, and you make the point that what takes place in the rural areas, whether it's displacement or these large development projects that push people into the cities, has a direct impact on what takes place in the urban areas as well.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
In long term, mm-hmm. We are talking about a process of migration and urbanization, but what we have in Brazil, what I can define as a scene in Brazil, the huge process of urbanization took place here in Brazil in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and in the 80s, the pace of migration began to decrease dramatically. But the conditions of the urbanization conditions under which all this process of migration took place, which is the self-construction and self-help on the building people's habitat, also the absolute lack of public transportation systems, education systems, health systems to cope with this urbanization, this condition has not been changed, really changed. Up to now, there is no a city for all in Brazil, although governments and people have much more money today than ever before.
Raquel Ronick, as the UN's special rapporteur on adequate housing, you've reported on other countries. You visited the U.S. recently. Also, most recently, you were in Indonesia. We're now seeing these hundreds of thousands of people demonstrating in the streets in multiple cities in Brazil. What legal paths or solutions are available for residents who are pushing for housing rights?
Yes, I think that it's a very important movement that is taking place everywhere. I can see a very important link between what is going on in Brazil, the Right to the City movement in Brazil, what is going on in Istanbul right now, which is also a Right to the City movement. So I think it's time to rethink, and it's very important that this is being said not only in Europe, in the U.S. today, but also in emerging countries like Brazil today.
Raquel Ronick is the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Adequate Housing. She joined us from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Ms. Ronick, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.